All right, you all know the drill. When your number is called, step forward and repeat the phrase you've been given. Understand? Number one, step forward.
ESPN 97.5. Yeah, come on. This is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN975.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy, affordable, hassle-free energy from a company that has your back. Live from the RentersWarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas, here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
What up, H-Town? Hey, how we doing? It's a Thursday on The Usual Suspect. Barry's here, Nick's here, I'm here. We're all present and accounted for as we sadly give you our last show of the week. We are off tomorrow due to Astros baseball. The home of ESPN's version of Astros baseball.
Sad for who?
I know, I'm saying.
The listeners enjoy
that's true. Say,
the company and camaraderie of The Usual Suspect.
I don't have to see either one of you bozos tomorrow.
Day off.
Yeah.
Are skipping out.
You're just so not ready. You know, the show starts at 1. You continue to
How
do
about
this.
You kiss my
either
whole
you show up late
entire
or you show up on time
ass.
And you're messing with the microphone. And you're plugging in your headphones.
And I don't
you
even have my headphones in and I can hear you. That's how
you can
loud
tell.
And dumb you sound.
It doesn't matter.
And I turned down the volume in mine from Charlie.
Yeah, he's deaf.
Old tardy-ass, delinquent-ass.
Oh, you're the one in here talking and then ran out of the room. Did you get that on video to tell the people
Well, because
about
I had to come back in
so.
Time for the video
I
feed.
I think so.
I was trying to make sure you guys were on the video feed. Okay? I was looking out for you.
What did you say to Charlie about you didn't know that you were an idiot?
I thought I was producing Palillo 2 days in a row.
Yeah.
And it clearly is indicated in the text that they initially wanted me to produce it on Thursday and then they moved it to Wednesday, so they only needed one day. But my dumb ass showed up to work.
Mm. You came in early.
Yeah.
And then you said that they had to tell you that you were an idiot.
Yeah, I told them
they
that
had
I was
to tell you? I mean, I could have told you that.
Well, I told them I was upset that I don't get to produce a real radio show.
Oh, is that what it is? I see how
it is. I was dying to say that for like the past 15 minutes. I don't know why.
Are you waiting?
Yeah, I don't know why.
Because your name's on this too. You know that, right? Like you are dissing the show that your name is also on. So feel free to hate on it all you want.
I forgot about that.
Dumbass. Yeah. Like you just crapped all over your own
show.
Prop
it up so you can break it down.
Oh my
Real
God,
effective.
What an idiot.
Real effective. Return on investment.
So I thought I would save this. As you know, last month, I got my water bill. And it was what, seven? What did I tell you it was?
It was like 600 something.
No, it was in the sevens.
Oh, it was?
Yeah.
Either way,
so
it's ridiculous.
I got an email this morning that said, your water bill is in and available. And I thought, well, rather than going and looking at it and then just being mad all morning, I'll wait and look at it live on the show. And then just be mad all show because I didn't want to ruin my morning.
That's not happening.
So we'll set the mood. Perfect.
So I'm logging in right now to look at it. I don't know. What do you guys think it'll be?
Yesterday you were in a good mood, and then Nick got you out of it.
What do you think it'll be?
Today it's
going to
be the damn water bill.
What do you think it'll be?
I'm going to say it's going to be about the. It's going to be in the sevens. Is what
I'm going high sixes.
I'm going to say 720.
Okay, so you remember that it rained a lot over the last month,
and you turn off your.
Yeah, I turn off my sprinkler.
Oh, then I'm going to go low sixes.
Low sixes? After all this rain that we got?
Okay. I'm going to stick to 720.
I'm going to say like 350, 300.
Dang.
Yeah.
That much of a difference?
Yeah. Yeah, yeah. And you're still
I'm
seven?
I'll say 349.
All right, Price is right.
Okay, I'll go to the 400s now that you just said
Now you're going to... All right, here we go. 228.
I win.
Look at that.
Yeah, closest Mr. without going
Showcase
over, I guess.
Showcase showdown. Here I come, baby.
Right? Dude, I'll take that all day, every day.
I can't believe you pay that much for
$228? I feel like I just got a raise.
That is the most ridiculous water bill I've ever
heard
of.
Yeah, it's pretty stupid.
Life.
It's pretty dumb. I hate it, but what you going to do?
Move.
My heart was pounding there because I was like, oh, my God, if this is another $700, I'm going to have to start whoring myself out or something.
It's crazy that $228 is a relief to you. But.
Yes. And that's stupid?
Because I overpay my water bill, and I just don't want to deal with it for
do you
a while.
Get, now, is yours combined like trash, sewer, and water all in one? Because that's usually how they do it.
I believe so.
Yeah, and it'll be like under the 50, water bill. 60 bucks, and then you just, yeah. Lucky you. I don't have that.
I don't think ours is. But I know my water bill isn't even close to that.
No? What is your water bill on average?
Less than $150. We get a pool, too.
In the summer, like in August?
Yeah.
Oh, boy, I really hate you.
It's called having an acre of land.
Yeah,
when you move out next door to Lion King, what do you think is going to happen?
When the fourth fairway is a little parched in the middle of golf season on Laminack Manor, it's going to take some water.
And you know how we all bitch about traffic? You're also another guy that doesn't have the right to bitch about traffic.
I wish you both knew how much I hated you.
We had an employee that used to work here bitching to me about traffic, and he was like, man, the drive was terrible. I'm like, oh, really? Where are you coming from? The Woodlands? What did you think was going to happen? You thought you were just going to go 75 miles an hour on 45 and just coast past everybody coming from the Woodlands? Like, that's a terrible drive. Like, what did you think?
I don't bitch about the traffic.
I'm just saying, if you were to, you don't have the right.
Oh.
I revoke your traffic bitching privileges.
Because of where I live?
Yeah, you chose to live.
That's a great point.
It's Laminack Manor. It's also known as the Four Seasons.
No, it is the Four Seasons.
It's the Four Seasons because they're in spring, but on the property, you also have the suburbs of summer, fall, and winter. That's why it's the Four Seasons as a whole. That's how big the property is.
Yeah. I want to get an actual gong for this show.
I don't care.
I want to have a gong on this table.
I don't want to empower you guys with any type of sound effect.
Just hit it when he does that.
There's this show called Big Boy, and he has like this little annoying clacker thing that he shakes while he's on the air. It's the most annoying thing ever.
I'm gonna get one of those just to piss you off.
Nope. I will turn your mic off.
I'm gonna
off.
Bring like a little gong in here.
I will
a
turn
baby gong.
Your freaking mic off.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Just be Joel and Nick show.
Yeah, just down to two suspects.
No,
huh?
Nick, it's not gonna be we could still have fun because you know, all we gotta do is get Jerry Roach's phone number, and with the amount of times that we do remote broadcast.
Hey, his buddy's outside right now.
Radu's
outside.
Just get Jerry on the hotline. We're
could
good.
Do that too. Yeah, totally could do that.
Yeah.
Right about perfect week for it. Cowboys in town. So next week, post Cowboy game.
You should do this. I really think you should do this. I would love to see someone put up with the two of you like I have.
I don't think Jerry had any problems.
Yeah, because he knew he was getting out in 3 hours. He was like, thank God. No. I mean, 5 days a
not
week with you two?
Not
5 days a week.
You can tolerate me. I'm fine.
I mean,
people can tolerate.
Can
me.
I?
Kinda. I think you can.
Seriously, where did that stat padding come in? Who decided to put on that vote?
I'm tolerable.
According to who?
Yeah, says you.
Says me. Yeah, but still, I believe in that. I mean, you know.
Today's straw poll of one says Nick is actually tolerable.
Yeah, you're the dude that's like, I'm pretty hot. Like, what?
I have never said that. That is what? So you.
I'm pretty hot.
And Mike Greenberg last night, and I'm thinking, yeah, because Greeny's got glasses and you got a goatee.
Yeah.
And you can
have a goatee.
No, he does. And he can grow it fully as well as a beard.
No, AJ shamed me out of my goatee.
I've heard him say that before. No grown man this day and age should have a full goatee.
Who still wears a goatee? I was like, he goes, nobody. I was like, okay, I got to get rid of this now.
It's kind of a good point. It's not as prevalent as it used to be.
I didn't realize it. And my wife, I mean, she still has sex with me, so I was like, well, I guess it still works. I don't know. What are you going to do?
Lights off, though, right? Because we don't want another oh no.
That's so weird. No, of course not.
Oh, no.
He shamed me into getting rid of it. And, of course, I can't grow a beard or I would. So I don't know. I'm just stuck now looking like a child forever, I guess.
Did you guys see, by the way, on SportsMap that we had talked to Lance yesterday that Granato's article is all about apologizing for not asking Jimbo Fisher about the face mask?
Totally satiric, right?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. Yeah.
I mean, I don't feel like you thought that at first.
No, I was just surprised that they even talked about it any further. I mean, these are one of those deals. Like,
favorite was the guy that tweeted to Fred's tweet. Did you see that?
No.
Okay, I'm going to pull this up right now because that was the best part of the whole thing.
People are going right to Fred lately.
Yeah, like everyone's snitching. Bunch of snitching ass listeners going straight
snitches.
To Fred.
I've bitched about worst. Snitches
they're
before
the
you
worst.
Know that.
All right, so here's Fred's article or Fred's tweet, and it just says, busy day on SportsMap, Cowboys report coming soon from AJ is the Real's fantasy rankings, Chris Campese's Astros, Cody Stutes Texans, Palillo's video, Gal Pick'em standings, which I'm no longer leading. Perfect. And Granado, and then Barry has something coming later, which I'm really excited about this video. I think you guys are going to love this. I broke down Cleveland versus Houston. Not the way you would think, though. That's all I'm going to say.
Sports map.
I think you'll enjoy it. So anyways, that's what he sends out. And then the lead is Granado's article, and it, the title of the article is My Apology to the People of Houston. Mm-hmm. And he basically just goes and apologizes because he didn't ask Jimbo Fisher about the face mask issue. And the reason he said was because they had told him, hey, he's already addressed it. He doesn't want to address it anymore. He's moved on. Which, and then Granado's point in the article was essentially, what was the guy going to say if I asked him about it again? Was he going to give me some new nugget that he hadn't, you know, told anyone else? No. He's going to say the same thing he said yesterday. So why even waste everyone's time asking about it?
Hey, guys, look, this is one of them things when I'm coaching the football team. I'm just trying to grab his face mask and tell him what to do so he doesn't get in a fight and get thrown out.
So yeah, this dude named Baracho Hornfan replies to Fred's tweet and says, media members like John Granado forget that they work for the people. First of all, let me stop you right there.
Your check's coming from the people?
Exactly. If I work for the people, we'd all be out of business. Because the people are like, no, it's, I'm sorry. We work for David Gao and Gao Media. The people consume our product. They are our audience. But we have an employer, and it's not the people. So this dude says their job is to ask questions and report on the public's behalf. But they are so worried about losing credentials or a regular 7:15 a.m. interview that they never question anything of relevance that the public cares about. Now, mind you, this dude's name is Baracho Horn Fan.
Yes, I was going to say.
We're talking about the Aggies, and this is a Horn Fan.
Right.
No slant here. To which Granado, I love Granado. God, he's the best. Because he just calmly replies, we are not social watchdogs. That's what news outlets are. This is entertainment, not news gathering. We talk about poop and sex robots. You should listen to CNN or Fox News. They do what you're looking for. That, in a nutshell, is the best way to reply.
Well played, John.
Because I would have just been like, you know what? I would have cursed at him and been a complete jerk.
Oh, we know.
Yes, we do.
All right. That was uncalled
for. I was just agreeing with you.
And then, so it doesn't stop there. So then Baracho Hornfan replies, and football is entertainment, yet you dodge a question with the head coach that grabbed a face mask because you're scared he won't come on your show anymore. You might get more listeners if you ask questions people care about, especially in the current entertainment timeline that you claim you cover. Like, what? It's so obvious this dude has an agenda. Mm-hmm. So obvious. I just find it silly. Like,
plus, he's got a lot of time on his hands.
Granado doesn't owe you anything, dude. Like, he's asking questions that he feels is relevant. There's times when we've wanted to ask things and we're asked or told, nope. Right? People are like, nope, don't ask about this or you don't get it. Okay. Because my job, we're not investigative journalists.
No.
We're not trying to get to the bottom of anything. We're just having interviews, and hopefully it's entertaining and informative. And if it's not, well, we'll try better next time. But
I can't tell you how many times an on-air host has turned down an interview because someone wouldn't let them ask a particular question, usually because that's the main question to ask. But if it's a situation where he's addressed it like Jimbo Fisher has, a lot of times they're not going to get very upset about not being able to ask that question. Because there's a million and one things you can ask Jimbo Fisher outside of that question,
exactly.
Obviously.
Exactly.
A&M. And because
there's plenty going on the field that you can ask him about.
But let's say
he already
came
out and said.
But he has to address it multiple. Like,
yes.
You know what
he
I'm saying?
Has.
Okay, and that's what it is. And if he's only like addressed it on one radio show, I wouldn't mind the second radio show being a little, you know, like being
more
a little.
But he addressed it to the media.
Yep.
On multiple occasions.
And there you go.
The family came out and said, we have no problem with what he did to our son. Our son loves playing for him, and he's a football coach. That's it. I mean, most people I feel like are like, that's football.
No, see, but here's the thing. When,
some people
when you
are
hear,
sensitive. You're right.
Because of that and a lot of other things,
but
and even
sensitive.
The Longhorn fans.
Holes.
What? But go ahead.
No, it's all right. With the hit, there are people that hear that because whether they have an agenda or they're sensitive or they just have expectations that aren't realistic. The minute that they heard Jimbo Fisher joins us next, they're going to be like, oh, good. He's going to ask you about the face mask thing again.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Especially as a Horns fan.
Yeah, and so that's what I'm saying. Hidden agendas or out there in the public agenda. You can see it. But at the same time, when you don't do it then, you just set yourself up for all kinds of scrutiny.
Guarantee you 5,000% if this was Tom Herman grabbing someone's face mask, Baracho Horn fan wouldn't be saying a damn thing.
Oh, I thought
he'd be like, let's all move on. Let's all just get past this. This is not a big deal.
He'd have kissed him.
That too.
So
good for him.
Hey, we're just getting started. HRNP listener line wide open right now, but the text messages are rolling in. 713-780-3776. You can call or text that number. You can reach us via Twitter, where it's at the producer Nick, at Pac-Man Joel with a K, and at Barry is funny.
Yeah. Hey, listen, football season is here, dude. I'm so glad that I'm able to take what I started learning about as far as betting on sports, and I'm able to use it and put it into practice with my bookie. And because, listen, it's a lot of fun when you watch the games. It's a lot more fun when you have something riding on them. You're more into it. Think of it like fantasy, where, you know, when you have fantasy players on a team, you're super into that game. The same is true when you have some money on it, when you make the game a little more interesting, and you can do that with my bookie. And remember, it's super important, because who you're betting on is as important as who you're betting with. That's why you need to hook up with MyBookie and get started today. They are the online destination to get some action on any game out there. They're safe. They're reliable. They've been in business for years. It's why I recommend them. It's why I'm using them when I bet. And listen, the best part is when you win, they pay. That's super important in this business, man. You don't want somebody that's going to hold on to your money and have a million different reasons why they can't send you a check. Not with MyBookie. They pay. And they have a lot of cool things going on. They have in-game live betting. They've got all these player perks that you can get, some of the best in the business. And if you already are playing fantasy, you can now bet the over-under on how many fantasy points a player will score on each game. So just go to mybookie.ag to sign up. They will match your first deposit dollar for dollar. That is true. That is what I said. They will match your first deposit dollar for dollar. All you got to do is use promo code radio and get that dollar for dollar match. So check out mybookie.ag. Use that promo code radio. Get that dollar for dollar match and start having some more fun on these games. You play, you win. And you get paid at MyBookie.
To get the latest and best content on where to go, what to do, where to eat, and where to drink, go to culturemap.com. Is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5
and on ESPN 97.5.com,
powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life. Live from the renterswarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas, here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
Hey, just getting started on The Usual Suspects on a Thursday, but if you haven't heard the news, the last day of the week for us as we get tomorrow off because of the baseball game. We regret the fact that, well, at least some of us regret the fact that we won't be able to provide the show to you where you have to work through another day. But time off's going to be fun. I'm looking forward to going to the game.
Are you going to the game?
I'm going to the game.
Did you get credentials or are you just going?
I did.
Oh, look at you. You requested them and got them.
I was very pleased that got that.
Good for you. So, like, they asked me if I wanted to request them, and I was like, hell no. Watch that at the house.
I was going to say, what were you just last segment too? You were just talking about something else about we're afraid to lose our credentials. I was like, we're not afraid to do that. They do that on their own for us.
Yeah, we don't get credentials. What are you talking about?
It's crazy.
So we just got a tweet.
Okay.
From, well, the original tweet was from Jeremy Morgan, but he's quoting Chandler Rome, the Astros beat writer for the Houston Chronicle. Mm-hmm. And apparently the Astros have released the ALDS roster. So you ready for that?
I'm very ready for that. I thought he might try and hang on to it till tomorrow, so I'm glad it's coming out today.
All right. Your starting rotation, Verlander, Cole, Morton, Keuchel. Mm-hmm. Okay?
No surprise, right?
No. Your infielders, Altuve, Correa, Gurriel, Gonzalez, and Bregman.
No surprise there.
Oh. At catcher, you have McCann and Maldonado.
There's
no
your
Max
Stassi. Your first one, yep.
Outfielders, and I guess bench, or maybe more outfielders, who knows. But you've got Springer, Reddick, Tyler White, Kemp, Marisnik, and Gattis, and Straw.
There you go.
Made the roster. AJ said, this was a quote from Chandler Rome's Twitter. Mm-hmm. AJ Hinch said Miles Straw is so fast that he forced a catcher off the roster.
So there's your answer in a nutshell.
It really
too.
Surprises me that they didn't feel like they had enough speed already with Marisnik and Tony Kemp on the bench that they had to add a third guy. But it also tells you that they're going to put a premium on that going into this series versus the Indians. That's the first takeaway right there, is that you feel like that, hey, look, They've got guys that they think they can get on base, and then they can bring him in late to swipe a bag and get in scoring position.
Well, and you saw it in the Cubs game the other night, too. Speed kills. And when you bring a pinch runner into the game, and they were talking about the fact that you bring a guy that's got more stolen bases in his career than hits or at bats, one or the other. But first pitch, without even getting all stretched out and everything, he was gone. He got into he stole the base, and he ends up scoring the tying run in a 1-0 game where the Cubs were really scrapping to get something going. You're like, that's how important speed is.
It also tells me the fact that because Cleveland is not very good at throwing out runners, they're in the bottom half of Major League Baseball in caught stealing percentage. So that kind of says something. And the fact that Cleveland also likes to run. They're going to steal some bags on you. Mm-hmm. And so you kind of have to offset. You know that they're going to steal some bags, but you got to take advantage of the fact that they're not good at throwing out runners. And the Astros' stolen base percentages, not great. About middle of the pack in Major League Baseball. So you add a guy that can up that percentage and exploit a weakness in the Indians' ability to throw runners out. So that makes sense. It just surprises me that they didn't feel like they had enough with those two guys and that they're going to go with less arms and not a third catcher.
I'm going to say this. The less arms part is a little bit interesting to me.
So they went with 14 bench players.
Yep.
Which means they went with 11 arms.
Yep.
Four of those 11 arms are in the rotation.
Right.
So that leaves seven arms coming out of the bullpen. Mm-hmm. All right. So they added Osuna.
Mm-hmm. Which is a no-brainer.
Yep. They've got McCullers.
Mm-hmm.
They've got McHugh.
Mm-hmm.
They've got your lefty specialist in Sip.
Oof, yeah.
What's wrong with Sip?
I'm not a big fan in pressure cooker situations.
His numbers this year have been ridiculous.
Your numbers guy, and I know it. The numbers back it up. And look, give him credit. After a BS last season, he deserves it.
Boy, he earned every dollar that he didn't earn last year. He earned it this
Correct.
Year. So you've got Sip. So I said you've got Osuna, McCullers, McHugh, and Sip, right?
Right.
That leaves three spots left. Presley?
I was going to say Presley. Gets one of those
spots.
Yeah.
Two spots left. James and Will Harris. So no Brad Peacock.
And McCullers is on.
Yeah, McCullers is on. No Brad Peacock.
No
Joe Smith. No Hector Rondon.
No Rondon. That tells you about.
That surprises me.
We knew his confidence had been waning himself in the way he had pitched, but now it tells you just how much it's waned with the organization. That's a huge omission.
That was very surprising when I saw that.
Yeah. Joe Smith was kind of on the fence. I completely, as good as they were a year ago, Peacock and Davinsky to me, I totally get that. Rondon shocks me.
Yep.
Wow.
Harris shocks me too, though. Harris over either Joe, especially Joe Smith with the playoff that he had last year facing the Yankees, that surprises me a little bit.
And I agree with you, but here's the deal. As much as Jake Marisnyk is the locker room buddy of the position players,
mm-hmm.
I think that, especially amongst AJ, but amongst the clubhouse, they love them some Will Harris.
Okay.
So, I'm shocked by Rondon. I really am. All right, we'll continue to roll on. You want to talk about that? Hey, we're open, and so are the phone lines. 713-780-3776. Call or text us. Hit us up on Twitter. It is the second half hour of hour number one, coming up next on The Usual Suspects, ESPN 97.5. Right now, I do want to tell you about my good friends at Fitz Roofing. I'll tell you right now, a lot of people are still dealing, unfortunately, with the remnants of the hurricane. A lot of people are still trying to get back on their feet, get their houses back up to snuff. And the fact of the matter is there are people out there that do not have your best interest at heart. They are looking to get you to put money up front to have your roof repaired, and then they're going to skip town or do shoddy work and leave you to pick up the pieces. That's not the way we do business at Fitz Roofing. That's why you need to call Fitz if you have anything going on with your roof. First and foremost, they use quality products like CertainTeed shingles. And by the way, Fitz Roofing is a CertainTeed shingle master company. Only 1% of the roofers in the entire United States meet that criteria. They got it. You need it. Go get them. Their base warranties longer than the average roofer. So again, they're going to stand by their work. And the fact of the matter is they have an A+ rating on the Better Business Bureau, 5-star ratings on both Facebook and Home Advisor. And you can get a free no obligation inspection just by picking up the phone. You call 832-521-3001 or you get on to fitzroofing.com. That's FITZroofing.com. Either way, free no obligation inspection. They check out what your roof looks like, what they can do for you. And then you you go from there. It's all fantastic because they're dedicated to Houstonians and they're not going anywhere. They also give back 10% of their profits to a nonprofit called Fits for Families, where the money goes to help people that need the roof but can't afford to pay for it. It's great people doing great work in the Houston area, and they're not going to skip town on you. They're going to be there before, during, and after the sale. Give them a call. Fits Roofing, making a difference one home at a time.
ESPN 97.5.
I assumed you knew.
This is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life. Live from the RentersWarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas. Here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
Hey, you guys are always looking for something fun to do on the weekend. Well, you can crawl till you can't walk, and you can join ESPN 97.5, SportsBet 94.1, and most importantly, Fred Fowler on the Houston Pub Crawl for Houstonians and sports fans alike, October the 20th. First annual Houston Sports Pub Crawl brought to you by Thrive Plus. Going to be a great group of people led by Fred, and they're all going to be repping their favorite sports teams while drinking at the hottest pubs, bars, and restaurants on Main Street in downtown Houston. Tickets, well, they're at a good price now, but the ticket prices are going to be going up, so you should act now before you have to pay more. And it's a good deal because for every ticket, you get a limited edition Houston Sports Be Someone shirt, pub crawl wristband, cup, koozie, and $3 drinks. And you're drinking with Fred, so you're going to learn from a professional. Tickets are available at htxpubcrawls.com. That's htxpubcrawls.com. Get in now.
All right, so here's the numbers for these guys in the second half of the season and the postseason, just to give you an idea.
Bullpen.
Well, so yes, bullpen guys that we've been discussing. I have no problem with everybody else that made the list, but so we're going to talk about Will Harris, Hector Rondon, Joe Smith, and Brad Peacock. We're going to talk about the second half
and their
postseason performance.
So when you say you have no problem with it, it's not just Rondon. It's just the omissions?
Yeah, I have no problem with – well, I have no problem with Presley, Osuna, McCullers, McHugh, Sip, and James making the roster. It's the fact that there's no – that Will Harris made it before Rondon or Joe Smith did. So Will Harris's second half of the year, he had a 3 ERA. Not too shabby. Right?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. His playoff ERA for his career, he's 2015, 2017, combined 6.43 ERA in the playoffs. So really great under pressure, obviously. Hector Rondon had a horrible second half. That's probably what cost him. He had a 5.47 ERA. His September-October was atrocious. He had a 9.72 ERA. 3 losses in 10 games.
I was going to say, in the whole Janet Jackson theory of what have you done for me lately, he had done lately,
his September, I guarantee you,
the confidence of his entire team.
Yeah. His playoff ERA is a 4.50. That's over three seasons, the last three seasons, 2015, 2016,
Cubs,
and 2017.
Mostly Cubs, right?
Yeah, I believe so. So he's got the 4.50 ERA.
Okay.
All right, Joe Smith, his second half, 3.10 ERA.
It's not bad.
Nope, not bad at all. What did I tell you Will Harris's was? A 3?
Mm-hmm.
Joe Smith in the playoffs, a 0 ERA.
Salty.
2013, he had one appearance, two appearances in 2014, and then he had four appearances in 2017 against the Yankees.
Against the Yankees in a 5-game series, pitched in 4 of the 5 games, gave up what, 1 hit?
7 appearances, 5 innings, no earned runs over the life of his playoff career. No hits against the Yankees. No hits against the Yankees. 1 walk.
Wow.
Yeah. And that guy's not on your playoff roster.
Well, let me say this, though, Barry.
Also, equally as good of a second half as Will Harris had.
Because you're right, because the experience is a big deal. But that's not a guy that's not going to be... If they advance past Cleveland, he damn well better be on that roster if they play the Yankees in particular because of his success on that. Because I know they're numbers people over there.
Yep.
But, wow, I'm a little shocked he's not on that roster.
And I'm doing this just for El Jefe and the crew out there. The whole fear of the...
The rooster?
The whole fear of the peacock crew.
Mm-hmm.
I said it, the whole thing. Don't dump me, Nick.
South Carolina?
Yeah. So Brad Peacock over the second half of the season, 4.18 ERA. Brad Peacock's postseason, 5.11 ERA, all last year. So there's one glaring thing about this to me. You've got two guys that had a decent second half with a 3 ERA. Mm-hmm. Of those two guys, only one of them has done anything in the playoffs, and it's Joe Smith. I don't know why he's left off the roster. Maybe he pissed off AJ Hinch.
The two, Rondon and Smith, we're both in agreement. Smith is more of an omission than Rondon?
Based on the numbers and second half performances in the last month and what he's done lately, I would say yes. It just surprises me, though, with Rondon's track record and his ability to get players out. But, you know, I mean, pitching, a lot of pitching is feel. You know that.
Yep.
A lot of pitching is, it's kind of like shooting in basketball, right? For a while, your jumper, it's like you just can't miss. And then it just feels weird. Well, you lose it. You don't know what's going on, and it's hard to get it back. And that's probably what's happened to Hector Rondon.
Days, right. You got your best stuff, and days you're going to have to, you know, fight your way through. But I was going to say, my initial shock just hearing the list was Rondon.
Yeah.
But then knowing what I know and then with you backing it up with the numbers, Joe Smith is the next guy, because then I'm going to flip it back on you and say, okay, if we add those two guys, because the other thing that we talked about that we saw with the A's, we saw in some of the early divisional playoff, the extra game of the regular season too, experience matters.
Mm-hmm.
So the fact that we know that Josh James has proven himself in the regular season, but he's coming in as raw gets. Mm-hmm. And it's going to be a whole, no pun intended, a whole new ball game when you get in to play in a playoff game with a raucous environment. Yeah, it's going to be in your favor for the first two. But when you're on the road and they call your number, boy, it don't matter. You better be able to be earmuffs and go.
Well, you need look no further for that example than Severino last year. He couldn't handle the pressure.
Yeah, he would give seven in the first inning.
They said he was hyperventilating in the bullpen.
Yeah.
And then after he gets that experience, look what he did this year. He goes four innings, came out for the fifth, had a couple of issues, but he got out of it. No runs. He had no hit him through four.
And flip it again with the A's situation. Yeah. A guy that you had released, that you brought back, and all of a sudden you put him on the biggest stage as your starter. And right
opener,
off,
not starter. They call it an opener.
Whatever
they
go call bullpen. It.
He better get used to it. Your Brewers are doing this game one.
They are?
Yes. They're not going with a starter. They're going with an opener in the.
I had not heard that.
They're going the Oakland Athletic style for game one.
I hate it.
That's what they're doing.
And then what does he do last night?
That's what they're doing.
First inning, second batter, and all rise. Judge goes deep, and the minute he hit the home run, I'm like, it's over. I don't care what happens the rest of the way with that crowd, that environment, and the fact that you got a guy that was at least one of the biggest question marks for the Yankees offense.
Yeah,
does that early? He got a double.
Well, I tell you, when you pitch the contact, when the big boys make contact. Guess what? Stanton and Judge both went yard.
Did you see the exit velocity on Stanton's home run? Like the hardest hit ball in the history of Major League playoffs since they've been judged. Like 116.
It's ridiculous.
Crazy.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, I mean, look, to me, I'm more than a little surprised simply because of the experience factor. Now, some people are going to question McCullers, but we already went over the fact that, look, he proved at the end of the season all he had to prove. It had nothing to do with experience, playoff baseball, or otherwise. Just can your arm endure two and possibly 3 days in a row of bouncing back when they need you to get outs?
Mm-hmm.
And because he can, you need that guy in your bullpen. And you have to have him based on the fact that you're putting a kid on the roster that you don't know what you're going
to
get.
But what I do like about adding Josh James to the roster is that you've got a guy that can come in and throw smoke.
Yep.
I mean, he's going to come in and throw 99, hit 100, and you can even do that. I mean, situationally, he can go in and get you a strikeout, but it's also where you could, I mean, let's face it, like a guy like Colin McHugh, super effective, mm-hmm. can go a couple of innings, but could you imagine having to come in and face Colin McHugh, and then next time around, you got to face Josh James a couple of innings later? You know, like if he goes seventh and eighth inning or ninth inning or whatever, sixth inning, just depends how long your starters
go. Right, because like they were hoping when you talk about these openers, their whole objective is, as a manager and as a baseball club, is let's make sure that the hitter never sees the same pitcher twice.
Yeah.
Every time around, you see a different guy, like you said, different velocities, different go-to pitches.
Same thing can be true with the hitter. Yeah, the same thing can be true in the bullpen.
Here's my question for you then, with all that being said. Because you got a kid that's as raw as James, mm-hmm. what's the best scenario to put him out there? Is it a big lead or a good-sized lead in game one, and you put him out there to get the jitters out of the way and give him a feel for it and let him get his feet wet? Because otherwise, as you get deeper into the playoffs or deeper into a series, you know that it's going to be a pressure cooker.
But he doesn't strike me as the kind of guy that lets the moment get to him, because if that were the case, I think it would have happened in Boston when they threw him out there. I think it would have happened there. That's a tough place to go and play.
You're right. It's but a still tough regular season versus playoffs.
But when you're a young playoffs. Kid like that and you haven't played much, that's a big deal to have to go into Fenway and pitch. And it didn't bother him, and he wasn't rattled. And you can just tell to me, I don't know, maybe it's just, but when he's out there, when he comes off the mound, when he gets out of certain situations, the dude just exudes confidence. I think to me, though, if you want to get him, it's going to be a blowout situation. Josh James is going to be one of the last arms that you go to at this point. I mean, Sipp is your specialist. You know, you got a guy like McCullers that can come in as soon as your hammer. Presley and is going to get you some middle relief. Guys like McCullers and McHugh can go long relief if you needed to, if like Keuchel. The Keiko's the one guy I worry about in a start, but that's when a guy like McHugh and McCullers are going to come in handy. And even Josh James, to a certain degree, if Keuchel gets bounced in the second inning, right. Now you got to get this to the end of the game.
And here's the other thing you got to keep in mind, because I know we're talking about it, but before you think that this is a huge deal, realize that the reason why they can do this and they can have a little bit more open-minded flexibility on this is because their starters are going to not be like the Yankees or the A's pitching staff. They're going to go deep. They're going to soak up a lot of innings and a lot of pitches, and you don't have the predicaments that other teams, like you're saying with Milwaukee or Oakland or other teams do. So
that's exactly right.
That's something you got to take into consideration as well. All right, we're going to continue to roll on here on The Usual Suspects. Just hour number one of the three-hour show. And, of course, if you want to join us, 713-780-3776. Call, text, or hit us on Twitter.
And don't forget, 2:30, Sigmund Bloom's going to join us. So if you want to start texting your fantasy football questions in, 713-780-3776. Right. And Cody Stoots joins us at 3:30 today.
I was going to ask if you were going to toot for Stoots.
Yeah.
All right.
I see what you did.
See? So a little toot for Stoots and a little Sigmund Bloom. Get your fantasy football. You know how we do it, people. Get the question to us now so we can rapid fire. If you want to actually hear your voice on the radio, don't call until the segment prior to the break. Back with more. It's Usual Suspects, ESPN 97.5.
To call into the HRNP listener line, dial 713-780-ESPN.
Dial the phone.
Looking to outsource your company's HR and payroll? Get the top initiative and smart solutions with HRP.net. This is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life. Live from the RentersWarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas, here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
Hey, rolling around, hour number one, three-hour show. It's The Usual Suspects, ESPN 97.5. Barry, Nick, Joel, just covering the bases of the playoff roster of the Astros. See what I did there?
I see what you did there.
And plenty more to get to as well. We got a Thursday night football game. We got two, actually. We got a college football game with your Cougs, Nick. We've got the Patriots
tear them up,
Colts. Then we got playoff baseball. So lots of things going on a Thursday night on the tube.
Did you watch the game last night?
And such. I stomached as much as I could.
I fell asleep.
Lisa flew in and I had to go pick
apart,
her up.
And I was just like, they're falling apart.
But like I said, the minute they put the two spot up in the first inning, I was like, this is over.
Well, there goes that whole strategy. And
I don't like any bit of it, but you know what? And that's the thing. I understand that they have a great bullpen, but the thing is you only had one starter on the roster for Oakland anyway, and Edwin Jackson. I would have put him out there because we know how he's been this season, especially late, as we were talking about guys like Rondon who didn't exactly perform great late. If he had anywhere close to the stuff he's had for the final month or so of the season, at least he soaks up three, four, Severino's case, who had pretty good stuff, four innings.
Pretty good stuff. He was no hitter through four.
Yeah, so I'm saying.
He's not matching that, though. I feel like they didn't have anyone on that roster that could match if Severino goes out and pitches to his capabilities, which he absolutely did. The A's didn't have anybody that could match that.
No, but I'm saying, if Jackson is anywhere close to what he had been over the last month or so, right? Mm-hmm. At least he's in his comfort zone because he's preparing like he always does as a starter. Now, you don't put a reliever in a very nerve-wracking situation in his first start ever in the postseason and his first experience in the postseason. And right off the bat, they're two down because he gives us a bomb to Judge. Let him be comfortable. So when you bring him in for his first appearance, you bring him in out of the bullpen, the way he normally prepares, gets ready, comes in, maybe calms him down a little bit.
Okay.
just throwing it out there as from
I mean,
a
to be honest with you, the first half of that bullpen kept them in it. I mean, 2-0 going into the sixth in Yankee Stadium is a winnable ball game. Fernando Rodney blew up.
Right, but he
up,
had to settle down.
And then Treenan blew up, and that was it.
Yeah, Rodney didn't help him at
all. No.
Can we just put the hat on straight now?
No, he won't.
Okay. All right, so we've got baseball. You watched the game, I take it?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, no surprise, right? No. Everybody got what they wanted. Yankees and Red Sox and the whole deal. The thing to me is, this is the weirdest thing, because when you're the best record in the league, most people are going to favor you throughout and by a decent margin. A lot of people thinking the Red Sox are ripe for the picking, and because of the instability of that starting pitching, that they could get bounced in this Yankees series pretty quickly.
I've not heard that.
ESPN this morning, and of course they had Mad Dog on, who's, you know,
Mad Dog Russo.
Oh, Lord. And of course Greenberg's a big Yankee fan. But
yeah, then that's
they had Ryan Howard on. Now, Ryan Howard was like, well, I think the Red Sox can manufacture some runs. But, the big focus of everybody was and continues to be, we don't know what Sale you're going to get, and his velocity has been down. David Price obviously has been, like, up and down all for the last couple years. So
this is still a team, though, in the Red Sox that led the majors in scoring. They faced the Yankees 19 times and won 10 of those 19
games.
It was
10-9.
So but to say that you know, the Red Sox are ripe for the picking.
I think they are.
Chris, if the whole key really to me for the Red Sox is Chris Sale healthy. If he's healthy and he has his velocity, that's...
Because you're going to get, if it goes five, you'll get two starts out of him. But here's the thing to me, the big key to the whole series for me is just the bullpen. Yankees bullpen, and they added to the bullpen during the year, has been very reliable. Mm-hmm. They have a lot of good arms in it. And I look at the Red Sox bullpen, except for Kimbrel, and I go, Joe Kelly can throw 101, 102 miles an hour, but the Astros got to him a couple times,
yeah,
and he's been unstable. So, and he was part of the whole bean brawl with the Yankees too. But yeah, I think a bullpen's going to be a big factor. And obviously, anything else, I agree with you. The starters for the Red Sox to me are the biggest key.
Yeah, I think if Sale's healthy, I think the Red Sox bullpen wise are similar to the Yankees. The Yankees obviously have a better bullpen, mm-hmm, but I don't think it's leaps and bounds better than the Red Sox. These guys are 1-2 in scoring in the American League and in baseball, so it's not that they can't put up runs. I think to me the key, kind of like what I talked about with the Indians and the Astros, the key in that series to me comes down to the bullpen, and the Indians have an atrocious bullpen, and they have all year, and I think the Astros can get to it. This series, to me, is going to come down to defense. I feel like the Yankees will make some defensive mistakes. They did it last year in the playoffs. Gary Sanchez made a couple of huge bonehead mistakes.
Yeah, for sure.
But this Indians infield booted around a little bit. They were in the lower end of fielding percentage and errors in baseball.
You said Indians, but
I meant Yankees. Yeah.
Because they're at the corners, you got some young kids that you saw it last night. Even the kid at third makes two great picks, but just two wild throws.
Yep.
Got lucky on the first one, didn't get so lucky on the second one. And again, that's the play-in game, wild card game, and you won it. But as you get into more pressure cooker situations, more of those things are going to pop up. And we always say, the ball's going to find you.
Yeah, the ball will find you. I feel like that could be a difference maker, because if you give the Red Sox just a little bit, one error here and a run there, that could be the difference, because these teams are pretty evenly matched.
Mm-hmm. Well, obviously 10-9, out of 19 games. So, it should be a fun series. But I'm telling you what, the American League in both series, those are some pretty primetime matchups.
They got the best four teams.
Without question.
In the American League, for sure.
Yeah. So we got that to talk about. We'll break down the rest of the baseball a little bit, I guess. And from a Cougars standpoint, Nick, big on the big home game. I saw Major Applewhite was tweeting out, and everybody fired up for a Thursday night national TV game. But it's Tulsa; they're not bad.
And they have a situation with the quarterback. It looks like they may go with a quarterback change. Seth Boomer is a redshirt freshman that may start instead of Luke something. I forgot his last name. So yeah, they haven't really had much success with their quarterback. Most of their success comes on the ground. So, I like my Cougs.
Okay.
So
that's a lot of points to give up.
I was going to say, we're going to get to the spreads later and do some picks, but that is a lot of points.
18 and a half?
To a team that hung in there with Texas.
I saw that 16 and a half, so it's moving a bit, but I feel a little bit more comfortable at 16 and a half. What do we have it on the
18.
List? Okay.
Well, ESPN has it at 18 and a half. Vegas Insider has it at 18.
Tulsa hung with UT, right? That was a pretty close game this year.
They lost three in a row. They've only won one.
But I don't think it was a blowout.
Yeah, it was 28-21.
There you go.
Yeah.
So 7-point game. So that's against those mighty Horns.
They also lost to Arkansas State.
That's not as good of a, no. of a tough loss.
No.
It's not as good on the resume.
No.
No. So, and by the way, kudos to Jake Kaplan, our friend of the show, who writes for The Athletic Houston. He points out a couple of things for the series coming up. Miles Straw stole 70 bases in the minors, but the impressive thing to me that I said to you during the break, he once ran a 6.2560.
That's ridiculous.
That is short of wings. That's flying.
Yeah. I mean, I'm like a 6'8", so...
And let's not forget late in the season when he got his 6'8", I see it. Height? No. With heels? No. This dude had the leadoff home run the one game, too. It was in Baltimore. So it's not like he's...
No pop, though.
I mean, he's not going to be a power hitter, but at least he can swing the bat. You look at that kid from the Cubs. That was embarrassing. The guy that tried to fake being hit so he didn't have to swing it again. Oh. That's embarrassing, man. You know, if you don't even want... If the bat's on your shoulder that bad, that's not good in the major leagues.
Miles Straw, for his career, has one home run.
Well, we saw it. Exactly. I just referenced it.
He had one in the minors and one in the majors. So... Yeah.
All right, and the roof will be closed for both games, 1 and 2. Probably a smart move with both day games.
My bad. 3 in his minor league career since 2015. See,
he started to get bulked bombing. Up. He's just bulking bombing. Up. He's hitting the weight room, yoked. And he's bulking up, pounding the fences. Roof closed games 1 and 2, and Mike Scott will throw out the first pitch before
nice.
Game 1.
Think he'll throw the splitter? Scuff it a little bit?
I know. No. Maybe he'll scuff it, but I don't think he's going to throw the splitting.
That's right.
So... All right, so there's some baseball and just a little preview of what's ahead. If there's anything else on your mind you want to get off your chest, hours 2 and 3 are right around the corner. HR&P listener line, 713-780-3776. Call, text, hit us on Twitter. Hour number 2 comes up next right here on The Usual Suspects. I forgot
how you tasted. ESPN 97.5.